Anyone who comes to Jesus in repentance and faith will be saved from sin. Death and hell will have no more dominion over him. Do you believe in the Bible doctrine of hell? Jesus did. He spoke of it more often than he spoke of heaven. Jesus taught that hell is a real place, a place to be shunned. But he also taught that the only way to miss hell is by repentance from sin and personal faith in him as Savior. Jesus spoke of eternal hell in the familiar parable of the fish net. Let us read his words once more. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now what does the parable of Jesus say about hell? First, it says that hell is the place of residence of the wicked, not of the just. Second, it says that hell is a furnace of fire. Third, it says those who are consigned to hell will wail and gnash their teeth there. Fourth, it says the wicked will be cast into hell, indicating their desire is not to be consigned there. All that is taught in one simple parable of Jesus is just a little of what the Bible has to say of hell. Think first of the vocabulary of hell. A term used in the Greek language, in which our New Testament was first written, to indicate hell is Hades. It is applied to the grave in some instances, but to a definite place of conscious punishment in other instances. There are many other words used to describe the place to which the unsaved go at their death and to which they are consigned for eternity. Hell is called Gehenna, so named after the Valley of Hinnom, which was the garbage dump of the ancient city of Jerusalem, and in which a fire was kept burning constantly. Hell is called eternal damnation. The resurrection of the unsaved is called the resurrection of damnation. It is said to be a place of outer darkness and the second death, as well as the blackness of darkness. It is a lake of fire from which the smoke of torments ascends up forever and ever. It is the expression of the wrath of God upon those who are under the curse of God because of sin. It is a place of bonds and chains. The worm of conscience does not die there, and there will be ceaseless suffering. Oh, the list could go on and on. Of course, there are objections to hell. The most common objection is that a God of love would not send any person to hell to suffer. Now, that's based on a misunderstanding of divine love. God's love is not weak sentimentality. It is the offer of salvation and blessing in Jesus Christ. But when one has rejected Jesus, there is no further blessing of God's love extended. Sin is purposeful rejection of God's offer of grace. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Insult to God in the rejection of Jesus Christ deserves the judgment of hell. God's offer is so universal that any person who goes to hell will do so over the offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now think of the duration of hell. A great misunderstanding of the Bible doctrine of hell has to do with how long it will last. How long will a person assigned to the torments of hell have to endure them? The terms everlasting, eternal, forever and ever are used to describe the duration of hell. Now those are the same words which are used to describe the life of the believer in Jesus Christ, the duration of salvation, the duration of heaven, the duration of Christ's redemption, the duration of divine glory, and the duration of Christ's kingdom. Its obvious meaning is unending for time and eternity. Everlasting and eternal are used 14 times of the duration of the righteous and 7 times of the retribution of the wicked. Forever and ever is used 17 times concerning God and His people, and 3 times concerning the devil and his servants. And the terms mean the same in each instance: eternal duration. Hell is eternal. No escape is possible for one who is assigned there. If all the world and sea were sand, and every 1,000th year a bird should come and take away 1 grain, it would be a long time before that heap would be removed. Yet if after all that time the damned could come out of hell, there would be some hope. But the words forever and ever break the heart. Consider the sufferings of hell. Hell is a place of conscious sufferings. There is the consciousness of separation from God forever. The sentence, "Depart from me," once pronounced, will never be changed. The element of hopelessness will be most difficult to bear. But there will also be conscious awareness of the curse of God. That is the wrath of the Almighty, spoken of in Revelation 19:15. Remember the story Jesus told about the rich man who died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He was aware of the place of his residence. He was aware of the suffering caused by the flames. He was aware that a drop of water would help to relieve his sufferings, but it was not available to him. He was aware of the bliss of others who were blessed and comforted. He was aware of his relatives still living on earth and did not want them to come to the place of torment where he was. You read that full account in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. It is enough to break your heart. The sufferings of hell are real, recognized, and unremitting. What a terrible destiny for any person, even one person. But the truth is that multitudes are in hell, and others are going to hell because they reject Jesus Christ. Jesus described how fishermen on the Sea of Galilee would draw in their nets, sit down, and separate the fish. The good ones would be kept and the bad ones thrown away. Then he made this solemn application: "So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There you have the divine authority for the reality of hell. Jesus warned of it because he wanted to spare people from it. It is God's will that you escape hell. He said, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die? God has prepared the way of salvation in Jesus Christ so that you could be free from the condemnation of sin and the danger of hell. Anyone who comes to him in repentance and faith will be saved from sin. Death and hell will have no more dominion over him. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Father, we take these words of the Lord Jesus as a sign of grace. We see his mercy and his warning. Oh, let men and women hear it today, and grant that many will respond by turning from sin to the Savior. We would that no person hear these words and perish in sin, but that each would come to Christ for forgiveness. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen.